some Kugelfer.
For Kugelfer. Wow. I don't know if I'm on that Madriga yet for Kugelfer. No, thank you. Alright, Brishus, my father. So we just counted the 15th night of the Omer, which is actually very appropriate for what we're going to try to do tonight. I said to our Finkelstein, maybe we should try to have some type of Pirkei Avos series. So the truth is, the Sfarim talked about how the 49 days of Sfira correspond to the 48 ways that a person comes to acquire Torah, as described in Parakinyan Torah, which is the add-on parak to Pirkei Avos. So, everyone asked, well, where's number 49? So they say Chazara is 49. And after you've been kona all the midos that are necessary to acquire Torah, so everyone can use a little bit of Chazara. But it just so happens that according to Moshe Gersos, the 15th night of the Omer corresponding to the 15th trait which a person has to have to acquire Torah is Mishnah. So I think it's just very fitting that we begin to study Pirkei Avos tonight on the night which is Misugal for Mishnah. I don't know what the Pashup shot in that is. Obviously you want... It's a kinyan of Torah. To acquire Torah, you need to study Mishnah. I don't know. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. To have a midah, the other ones are midah, to have the midah of Simcha, Pilpul Chaverim, but to say you have to actually open the text and read it, like Shkayach, that seems like a given. But okay, we have to think about what that means a little bit. But Pirkei Avos happens to be a very special Masechta in its own right. Rav Yitzchak of Radvil, who is the son of Rav Yechiel Michal of Zlotchev, one of the early Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov, so he writes about Pirkei Avos that Kol HaTorah Kula Nichlalis B'zeh Masechta. That Kol HaTorah Kula is included within this Masechta. So that takes a little thinking. What exactly does that mean? So I think before we even open up the first Mishnah, we'll see how far we actually get. I think it's just kedai to ask ourselves, why is it in fact that Pirkei Avos is in fact Pirkei Avos? Why is it called by that name? Right, we refer to it as Avos. What about it makes it worthy of the title Avos? So Chassam Sofer has a very interesting comment. It's a little bit cryptic to understand, but he says essentially like this. He says, generally the Torah is the Av. We talk about Avos, we talk about Toldos. Right, you have primary sources, and then you have secondary things that are derived from that. So generally, the Torah serves as the Av, and Chazal serve as the toldos, so to speak, the interpreters of those avos, of those principles laid out by the Torah. He says, when it comes to Pirkei Avos, the statements that are made by Chazal here, they are the source. Right? And then afterwards, like it says in Gemara and Tanis, there's nothing that's not alluded to in the Torah, so we can always find some reference back to the Torah itself. But if you want to know what's the real Iker source, when Shammai says, greet everyone with a smiling face, Shammai, we sometimes forget, was a nice guy, because he's a little harish sometimes. But Shammai says, greet everyone with a smiling face, what's the source? Shammai says, I'm the source. Right? You want to find the connection back to the Torah, you're going to put it as part of Vatel Reich Kamoch, wherever you want to put it in, you can work backwards. But Shammai is the source. It's a very deep idea. It's an amazing idea to realize, just the respect we have to have for something. Maybe that sheds a little light on what Rav Yitzchak of Radvil was saying. That Pirkei Avos is the all-encompassing Masechta because it's as true to the source as you can possibly get. They say a lot of interesting stories about the Chazon Ish when the whole discussion of taking girls into the Israeli army, started to come about. So the Chazon Ish was obviously a strongly opinionated individual, and rightfully so. He represented Torah as much as, any human being can. But he wasn't necessarily so outspoken in the, if you asked his opinion, he would tell you his opinion. But he wasn't, it wasn't like nowadays where everything had a Kol Kore on the wall with, a million signatures. It wasn't like that back in the day. But when it came to this issue, and even after they agreed to not necessarily take girls into the army per se, but into Shirut Leumi, he was adamantly opposed to it. He held the halacha yaharig val yavor. You have to be prepared to take a bullet rather than to let your daughter go into the army or anything. And he was just crazy, absolutely crazy about it. And he put up signs and everything. He was adamantly against it. So someone once came to him and they said, Chorav, what's the source? So Chazon Ish opened up his shirt and he pointed to his chest and he said, here's the source. He pointed to his heart. He said, here's the source. You want to know where the source is? This is the source. You're looking at the source. Right, and it's exactly this idea. It's a very harif line I saw in a biography. He says two Mizrahi government officials came to the Chazon Ish, and they said, Mechilas Kvod HaRav, we stayed up the entire night going through all four books of the Shulchan Aruch to try to find the source. Where is the Isser of a girl going into Shirut Leumi? So Chazanish said, oh, he says, I know why you didn't find it in the four books of the Shulchan Aruch, because it's explicit in the fifth book of the Shulchan Aruch. Right? For those of you who don't know, the fifth book of the Shulchan Aruch, we say Yesecha. He says, and the fifth book was only given to Talmidei Chacham, so you guys, you don't have access to that book. And you can't buy that in a regular store. But he held Yarag Val Yavar. He held that I am the source. It's very fascinating. I found a letter in the Igros Chazanish where he describes this whole situation. Listen to his lashon, it's amazing. He says, you know, talking about this issue, he says, "Rigshus nafshi mora uba shu inya shal yarig vayavor." My heart basically tells me that this is yarig vayavor. V'ulai gam in nekudas halachakin. That's a fascinating lashon, no? I mean, I'm not so big on making diukim, but right? Perhaps the halacha could back me up, but I don't need that because I am the source. That's what the Chazon Ish is saying. There's a very similar story also in the 1930s. The Chafetz Chaim, at the time, they were starting to, you know, make a secular school mandatory. And the Chafetz Chaim also held, you know, it was a terrible thing. And someone came to him and said, you know, what's the source? And he did the exact same thing. He opened up the top layer of his jacket, and he points to his heart, and he says, you know, they said, where does it say this? He says, you know, dust. It says it right there. You know, this is the source. I am the source. So again, it just, you know, gives us a little perspective on when we sit down to learn Pirkei Avos, to realize that we're looking at the source. And I guess this idea, just to hammer it home in one final point, there's a beautiful line. I wasn't sure exactly where it is in the Michta Me'aliyah, but I saw it quoted elsewhere, where Rav Dessler just writes exactly this idea that Gedoli Doraseinu Shechavas Daitam Afilu B'Dvarim She'ein Lem Mekor Mefurash. The Gedolim of our time, even if they say something that doesn't have, you know, a clear source, V'Gam Eitzos B'Mili Da'alma, and even they're just advice and style matters. Yes, the Gedolim's advice, you know, on a business transaction. Barura V'Amitis Kasher Yishal Ish B'Dvar Alkim. It's as clear as day as if you ask God Himself. It's the Urim V'Tumim. You know, that is the source. So, again, it's just, you know, before we even begin to read the words of Pirkei Avos, I think it's just very appropriate that we have an idea of what we're dealing with here. Okay, one other just question, I guess, before we really start the actual Mishnayos, and that is, why did it become such a common practice to study Pirkei Avos at this time of year, between Pesach and Shavuos? Right, it's brought down in the Ramah, the Halacha, it has very early sources, Tshuvas HaGaonim, Rashi Sefer Apardes, so it's brought down in very, you know, early sources. This is an age-old minhag. So, you know, where did this develop from? What's the idea? So I think just the most simple answer is what the Medrash Shmuel in his introduction to Pirkei Avos says, which is what? Derech Eretz Kadmo LaTorah. Right, we're entering the period where we're preparing ourselves for Shavuos. We're trying to get ourselves ready for Kabbalah Torah on Shavuos. And, you know, the prerequisite to that is that we have to prepare ourselves to become human again. You know, sometimes we forget what it means to be human. Maharal has a beautiful idea. He says, we start Svira on the 16th of Nisan with what? With the Karban Omer. Karban Omer is made out of barley. Then, by the time we get to Shavuos, what do we bring? The Shteilachem, which is made out of wheat. So says the Maharal, what are we doing? Right, we're going from barley, which is animal food. Right, that's why the Isha Sotos Karban is made out of barley. She did an animalistic act, so she's punished in this way. We're going from what? We're transforming ourselves from animals into human beings again. Right, and you know, in the world that we live in, Bzman Hazeh, that's a formidable task. You know, we live in a very animalistic world, and to be able to you know, to focus on midos and to make it a serious study is something that the Jewish people take very, very seriously. It's halacha. That's the opening Bar Tanura, right? Moshe Kivel told me Sinai. Why do you have to tell me this is from Sinai? Why do you start Pirkei Avos in this way? Because this is real halacha. This is very important to us. We don't take it as a joke. I heard Rav Pesach Kron tell a story once. You know, just to show, midos are something we could all use a little work on. Bizman Hazeh tells a great story. He says his mother and her kid are in a fruit store. And the kid's being, you know, walking around with the mother, and he's looking at things, and the mother is trying to keep saying, don't touch, don't touch. Very nice man in the store goes over to the little kid, and he says, oh, I see you're shopping with your mommy. He gives him a banana. And the mother says, wow, that's so nice of you. She says to the little kid, she says, you know, what do you say to the man? What do you say to the nice man? I'm figuring he'll say, thank you. So the kid goes, peel it. Right? You know, that's, she says, you know, what do you say to the man? Peel it. As a little 2-year-old kid, peel it. Right? And, you know, the art of saying thank you, I guess, is a little bit lost in our times. So it's not a small matter to try to transform ourselves back into being human beings. And the Chafetz Chaim used to tell his students, he says, you know, you have to have good midos, because if you don't, people are going to say, Talmidei Chachamim don't know how to act properly. So as soon as they tell me, well, time out. Talmidei Chachamim, we're not Talmidei Chachamim. I mean, they weren't bad, I'm sure, the Talmidei Chachamim, but they said, we're Rebbe, we're not Talmidei Chachamim. He says, in the eyes of the world, you're Talmidei Chachamim. Right? If you're in the street, people look at you. You have a yarmulke on your head. You can apply it to all Orthodox Jews. You have a yarmulke on your head, you're a Talmud Chacham. In the eyes of the world, you're held to a standard that, you know, that no other people are held to. But that's just, you know, that's the reality of who we are, and therefore we have to act accordingly. But again,
I mean, they're Rabbi Akiva.
Right. That's why they were held so accountable. But just, you know, just being human is a real avoda. The Ger Rebbe once said, the Leah Simcha said, by Noach it says what? It says Noach was an ish tzaddik tamim. It says before he's a tzaddik, before he's a tamim, he's an ish. That's a madrega too. That's one of his madregas, to just be a human being. La'olam yehei adam yari shemayim b'seishav regalei. Right? So the Chassidus Shasar Amrita, la'olam yehei adam. Be an adam, be a person. And then be a yari shemayim, and then be, but just to be a human being is a lost art. Someone once walked into, an irreligious guy once walked into a Freifeld sukkah. And Freifeld had pictures of the Gedolim on the wall. And this guy obviously was not familiar with this minhag. I guess he was used to seeing, you know, lights on the streets. He wasn't used to these types of decorations. He had pictures of, you know, old looking people. So he says to Freifeld, he says, you know, who are these, you know, distinguished looking individuals? So Freifeld says, oh, he says, what you see in these pictures is a nearly extinct species that existed prior to World War II. It's called human beings. You know, but again, it's just something that certainly requires a lot of thought and a lot of time and a lot of effort to try to develop our midos. So what really is the root of all midos? Right? If you have to pick the one mida that maybe is the all-encompassing mida and is the root of all other, you know, of all other midos, so what would you say it is? So I guess at this point we could, you know, take a look at the first Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. What does it say? Moshe kibel Torah miSinai. Right, I don't know if we're going to get too much farther than that. I guess we should start really from the real beginning. Kol Yisrael yesh lam chelak l'olam haba. Every Jew has a chelak l'olam haba. Shemar va'amei chulam tzadikim l'olam yirsha aretz netzar matay masa yadai l'espar. So Moshe kibel Torah miSinai. Right, what does it mean Moshe kibel Torah miSinai? So just to maybe connect us to the Parsha a little bit, it seems clear that one of the themes in this week's Parsha is Gaiva and Anava. And a lot of Svarim, if you open up any Sefer on the Parsha, you'll probably find some theme along the way of Gaiva and Anava. Right, we see it in a few places in Mitzora. Rashi at the beginning of Mitzora says that why is it that as part of the Taras and Mitzora, he needs to bring a Shnit Tolat, an Ezov, right, a crimson thread and a small hyssop, you know, plant. So he says, why? Because he acted with Gasos HaRuach, and therefore he has to bring these small little plants. Right? You know, we always think, you think Saraz, you think Lashon Hara. But Lashon Hara is one of the seven things. We were in Erech and Adaf Tazayin and Aleph, gives seven examples of Saraz. Happens to be Lashon Hara is the first one. But Gaiva is certainly one of the seven on the list. So this person, he was Nichshol by being a Baal Gaiva, so he has to bring these lowly plants. Right? Why two Simanim? Why both Shmi Tolas and the Ezov? So the super commentaries on Rashi say that it's probably because, you know, when it comes to humility, a person's required to go, you know, the double mile, I guess, the extra mile, right? Have a ma'od ma'od shval ruach, be very, very humble, it says in Pirkei Avos in the fourth parak, right? So for that, you need a double reminder to be very humble. It's the one thing that the Rambam says to go to the extreme of that. Right, and you're going to call me out and say there's two things, right? And he'll say this. It says gaiva and kas. But really it's one and the same. A kas is really just an offshoot of gaiva. I get angry at someone, why? Because I think I'm better than them. Right? I'm upset the way you, how could you do that to me? It's all about your own cover. It's all about your own personal gaiva. So it's an area that, you know, that's, it's very extreme. We hold it to the high. And the reason is because really kas and gaiva and anava, and the way I relate to those midos is really the root of all midos. I was thinking also in the Parsha, in Tazria, Rashi says, right, in Perikid Gimel Pasuk Dalet, the Pasuk talks about Ome Kein Marei Minaor, right, so Rashi says, Ome Kein Marei, he says, Lo Yadati Perusha, I don't know the Pshat. You think it's by chance? You know, we know everything has a tradition that everyone up to the Marsha wrote with Ruach HaKodesh. You think Rashi by chance happens to say, Dafka in this week's Parsha, that I don't know the Pshat? There's a reason for it. Right? If he didn't know the Pshat, he could have been quiet. Why do you have to say, I don't know the Pshat? He's dafka teaching us that it's important to be humble. If you don't know the Pshat, so say you don't know the Pshat. It's hard. One of the reasons that we say, you know, we're scared to admit we don't know something is because of Gaiva. Right? The Gemara says in Brachos, teach yourself, Lamad Lashon Cholom Ra'in Yodeh, Brachos Dav Dalet. It's hard. It's a practicing. Stand in front of the mirror and say, I don't know. Right? Look yourself in the face and say, I don't know. Practice that 10 times a day. And then you'll be a really refined person. But it's very hard to admit when we don't know something. There's a great story I read once that the founder of the Beis Yaakov movement, Rebbe Tzimtzara Schneer, so she was sitting with a group of girls once and she was talking about, you know, midos. So she said to the girl, she said, what do you think the greatest mitzvah to have is? You know, what really, you know, refines the Jewish heart more than anything else? So one girl raised her hand and said, I think it's doing chesed. You know, helping our fellow Jews. She said, oh, it's beautiful, it's wonderful. And, you know, she went on praising her. So she asked another girl, what do you think? She says, I think as, you know, as girls, I think tznius is very important. To show that, you know, we look at our body in a different way, and we carry ourselves in a very fine, respectable way. She says, oh, beautiful, it's wonderful. So she turns to another girl, she says, you know, chavala, what do you have to say? What do you think the most important trait is? And the girl was very shy. She was, you know, trying, hoping not to get called. And she says, I don't know. So she says, oh! She says, she's got it. That's the greatest mitzvah that a person could have. To have the courage to say, I don't know, is a tremendous thing. I just read a story the other night. There's a Rav in Or Sameach, Eretz Yisrael, David Kaplan. So he tells a story. One time he was in Heathrow Airport. And there was a Hindu employee. And he got the feeling, as soon as he was talking to this guy, as he was, you know, trying to get through the gates, he got the feeling that this guy really didn't care for this, you know, rabbinic-looking Jew. So he figures he's going to give this guy, you know, a run for his money. So this guy's really busting his chops. He's asking him all sorts of questions, you know, as if this rabbi's some terrorist or something. So he says to him, he says, you know, I see here it says under occupation you're a teacher. He says, what do you teach? So he says, I teach Torah. So he says, he locked eyes with this Hindu guy, and he's waiting to see, like, you know, it's, and he says, I knew for a fact he had no clue what that meant. I could have meant, like, I teach making bombs, you know? And he locked that, and the guy, he didn't say anything. He went on, he says, okay, how long are you staying in the UK for? A week. He says, let me see your return ticket. He says, I see you're flying back through Germany. Why are you doing that? He says, well, you know, I'm a Kohen, and, you know, there's lots of a chance there's going to be a mace on the flight, and it's more lechachil according to the halacha. He says, he locked eyes with this Hindu guy again. It's like a showdown, you know. He says, he writes, he has to say for, he writes, it was the sweetest 5 seconds of his life, because he says, I know this guy doesn't have a clue what I'm talking about. And then the guy stamps his finger and sends him through. And he said, as he walked through, he said, this guy's a big Balgaiva. He says he didn't, you know, here he could be, this, he's a terrorist threat. And the guy's too ashamed to admit he didn't know. It's hard, you know, it's a very hard thing for a person to admit when they don't know something. But it all comes back to this midah of gaiva. And I think that's why, if you understand that gaiva in and of is the root of all midahs, that's why, you know, you always want to understand something, you look at the first, you go to the source. Right? Where is the first place it appears? You want to understand all of Pirkei Avos? Well, look at the beginning. Moshe Kibbutz Torah Misinai. Why is Moshe Kibbutz Torah Misinai? Everyone asks, why doesn't it say Moshe Kibbutz Torah Bisinai? Moshe Kibbutz Torah Mehashem? Right, Moshe got the Torah from a mountain? He didn't get the Torah from a mountain, he got the Torah from God. So what does everyone explain? Everyone talks about it. Maral, Kajan Sir Magid, Kudushas Levi, everyone talks about it. What's the answer? Moshe Kibbutz Torah Misinai, from the fact that he was like Sinai. Right? Misinai, from the fact that he was like Har Sinai, in what sense? And that he had the humility of Har Sinai. He'd internalized the message of Sinai, and that's what made him worthy to be the one to receive the Torah. So that's gaiva. That's, you know, that's the root of all midas. The Baal Tanya calls gaiva the avi avos hatumah. Right? It's as bad as it gets. It's one of the most destructive and terrible traits that a person can have. I was thinking with this, you can answer a very famous question. Tonight happens to be the art site of Rav Chaim Vital, the famous student of the Arizal. It's also Rav Yaakov Emden's art site. If anyone has anything to say from him, you can jump in at any point. But there's a famous question when it comes to, you know, these areas from Rav Chaim Vital and the Sefer Shari Kedusha. He wants to know, why is it that the Torah doesn't have any midos as mitzvos? Right? Of the 613 mitzvos, right, now that doesn't mean there's not benaz machaver, vatzal yachemocha, is certainly a pretty big line. But as far as the actual minyan ha-mitzvos, you don't really find, you know, a mitzvah, don't get angry. You don't find a mitzvah, you know, etc. So why is that? So what's the famous answer? You've all heard this before. Derech Eretz Kadma L'Torah, right? That as a prerequisite, so before you even come to the minyan ha-mitzvos, you need to what? You need to have proper midos. But I saw a different explanation from Avram Shor. He says the following. The Smag, when he was writing his Sefer Mitzvos Gadol, put together his 613 mitzvahs, and then he had a dream. He went to bed one night and had a dream. He writes it in the Smag, in the Los Asay 64. He says, I went to sleep, and I had a dream. He says, what was my dream? It was revealed to me that you miss one of the Ikarim. So he says, I woke up the next morning, I sat down, and I tried to cheshbon out, you know, what was I missing? And he says, you know what? I missed it. It's as clear as day. So it's a Daf Hayomet Aleph. It says, Azhara Legasei Ruach, right, Legatos Ruach Minator Minayin, doesn't say Minator, just Minayin. Right, where's the scriptural source for the Isser of being a Baal Gaiva? And the Gemara quotes the source. It quotes the pasuk, right? Ram levavecha v'shachachta Hashem alkecha. You forget Hashem, right? So it's a source. So he decided, I'm going to rework my minyan mitzvos, and he made gaiva one of the 613 mitzvos. So says Rav Avraham Shor, there's your answer. If you understand that gaiva is the root of all bad midos, so once you put gaiva in the 613 mitzvos, you're done. You've got them all, right? Depending on how I relate to this one principle of this one midah, that's going to affect, you know, my entire being. And that really becomes, I guess, the theme for Pirkei Avos. You find many themes throughout Pirkei Avos which are related to gaiva and anava. And I guess many of the principles that on the surface maybe you wouldn't even think are connected to this, you know, this idea. If you read through the Mishnayos with, you know, seeing everything through the eyes of gaiva versus anava, you can almost read, you know, straight through Pirkei Avos in this way. And that's the whole avodah between Pesach and Shavuos. Right? This really begins on Pesach and it carries us to Shavuos. What happens on Pesach? What were we working on? So weren't we working on this, right? Matzah versus chametz. What's the difference? So matzah is pashut. It's simple. It doesn't rise up, right? So everyone says matzah represents humility, pshitus, right? Kol Yisrael Yesh Lam Chelek Olam Haba. Even already is talking about guy versus another. The Gemara in Sanhedrin that says who's a ben olam haba? Person who's humble. So really, even before you get to Moshe Kibbutz Arvei Sinai, we have, you know, Maharal explains that olam haba is you know, it's totally removed from all sorts of. From anything, it's the most pashut place in the world, if you can imagine such a thing. So only a person who's pashut himself, who's simple and humble himself, is zochet to such a world. But the whole avodah of Pesach, the whole message of Pesach is to work on, you know, making ourselves simple. And that's really what we hope to get to by Shavuos, to really have internalized this message. I saw a beautiful remez to this idea. Right, we know that anyone who doesn't say Pesach Matzah Umaror has not fulfilled his obligation. So the Sfarim bring down a beautiful hint. Pesach Matzah Umaror, as it says it in the Mishnah in Pesachim, is 735 in Gematria, which is exactly the Gematria of having Ma'od Ma'od Shefal Ruach. Be very, very humble. The whole message of Pesach is that. It's internalized being humble, of being simple. And that's the entire avodah of the Sfirah. Right, Sfira Sa'omer, the Torah describes as Tisperu Chamishim Yom. So the beautiful idea also brought down, Sefer Shai Lamora says that Tisperu Chamishim Yom is Gematria 1200. Exactly. Right, 1200 even. Tisperu Chamishim Yom. So it's very nice. And we know that the weeks of Sfira Sa'omer, the days and the weeks of Sfira Sa'omer are supposed to be complete. It's supposed to count Sfira at the earliest opportunity each night if possible. Right, some Dafka try to daven at an earlier marv to make sure they can have the most complete days possible. Right, Tisperu Chamishim Yom is Gematria 1200. So, Chamishim Yom, if I have complete days, 50 days, Chamishim Yom, and I have complete days, 24 hours in a day, what's 50 times 24? 1200. Tisperu Chamishim Yom. Right? The message of Tisperu Chamishim Yom should have all 1200. Right? But it's hinted to, it takes the hint one step further. The Pasuk in Tehillim says, Leiv Nishvar V'Nidka Elokim Lo Tivzeh. A person who has a leiv nishvar v'nidka, a person who has a, you know, who's broken on the inside, who's humble, who's simple, he doesn't look at himself as being the greatest gift of the world. Leiv nishvar v'nidka, Elokim lo tivzeh, is also exactly Gematria 1200. So you see, Tisperu Chamishim Yom, right, is Gematria, leiv nishvar v'nidka, Elokim lo tivzeh. The whole avodah of Sfira, Pesach Matzah Umaror, is having ma'od mo'od shefal ruach, to be exceedingly humble. That becomes the whole message of Pirkei Avos, and that's the whole message of this week's Parsha, and that's the message of you know, these days between Pesach and Shavuos. Now that doesn't mean, just to clarify, that doesn't mean that, you know, anava, it's very important to understand the difference between anava and thinking you're nothing, right? The Torah encourages healthy self-esteem. That's you know, clearly the case. Rabbi Yonah writes in his, what's the sefer called? Not Shari Tshuva, the other one. Shari Avoda, is that what it's called? And the very first thing he talks about, he says, the first step to being a good Jew is knowing your self-worth. I can show it to you, it's a beautiful lesson. I forget what, I think it's called Shari Avoda, Rabbi Yonah. That's the first step. Right, and that explains when Moshe Kibbutz Tormi Sinai, so the Lubavitcher Rebbe asks, why was right? If the whole purpose is anava, where should the Torah have been given? It should have been given in the deepest valley in the world. On a mountain? It's a small mountain, but it's still a mountain. Right? So what's the answer? The answer is, yeah. A Jew has to realize that he has to be a mountain, but he has to be a small mountain. Right? You have to be great. You have to strive for greatness. You have to have a sense of appreciation of who you really are. But at the same time, they tell a story that the son of the Maggid of Mezrich, of Avram HaMalach, right, they called him HaMalach. You can imagine what type of Jew he was. He obviously didn't want to take over after his father, the Maggid of Mezrich, passed away because he was too removed from, he couldn't lead the Hasidim. He was just completely removed from this world. So he came once to visit his father-in-law, and a big crowd came out to greet him. They'd heard about this, this Tzaddik. Everyone wanted to greet him. And everyone came out to greet him, and he's standing in his father-in-law's house, I guess, looking out the window. And people are standing there, crowds are gathering, and he just keeps staring out the window. He will not address the crowd, he will not even look at the crowd. And, time's going by. And there's this one, this Nagid, who heard this guy's a big tzaddik, and he wanted to see what he's all about. And this guy was a bit of a Talmud Chacham, at least he thought so. And he's getting a little upset. It's a lack of kavod for him. So he doesn't understand, and no one wants to go over to the tzaddik and ask him what he's staring at. He's staring out the window at this, this hill. There's a mountain outside, and he's just staring for hours. So finally, he says, this is ridiculous. He goes over to me and says, what are you looking at? What are you staring at? He says, I can't get over the fact that a piece of dirt could be so haughty to turn itself into a mountain. And the guy understood, the message was, to him, that he was the piece of dirt who was, treating himself like, and the guy, after that he, but a Jew has to realize, as much as, we're off our mina aretz, that's where we come from and that's where we're going to return to, right? We can turn ourselves into a mountain in a healthy way. There's a great story from the Manchester Rosh Yeshiva. Someone once asked him, why is it everyone sings, Ana, 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 right? Ana, Ana, Ana. Avdo the Kudsha of the Brichu. Right? I am a servant of Hashem. So isn't that a gaivadika way to sing it? We should say Ana Avda 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 Avda, right? We should instead of Ana Ana I we should say servant, 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 servant of Hashem. So Manchester Shiva said, no, we sing it right, right? A person has to know his value. You have to say Ana 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 I am a servant of Hashem. You have to realize what that means. But again, it has to be done in a healthy way. I'll just show you one other, you could, look throughout Pirkei Avos and try to see this idea, this theme. But I'll just show you one other example in the first parak that, there's a lot of ideas of being humble in the first parak. I'll just show you one of my personal favorites, and it's the statement of Hillel, which is certainly appropriate for someone like Hillel. We know we paskin like Hillel because of his humility. The fact that he always deferred to Shammai, that, his essence was being so humble that he was worthy of becoming the Psak Halacha. The Chiddah actually goes so far as to write that we know from the Gemara in Sota that a Talmud Chacham is allowed to have an eighth of Gaiva. Right? A little bit of Gaiva is okay. Why? Because otherwise people are going to be mezalzel in his kavod. So a little bit of Gaiva we allow. An eighth of an eighth, which is what? A 64th. Right? A 64th is what's permitted. Hillel and Gematria says the Chiddah is 65. Right? He wouldn't even go there. He wouldn't step into that realm of 164th. He was totally, completely humble. So what do we find that Hillel says? He teaches us a tremendous principle in being humble. He says, So I saw a beautiful interpretation from Rav Avram Azulai, who was actually the grandfather, the great-grandfather of the Chiddah. He says, what would you consider yourself? Someone said, the famous story by Arya Kaplan thing, point to yourself. Right? How do you point to yourself? So most people, you point to yourself. Right? Is this you? Is your goof really you? Certainly, hopefully not. Right? You is your neshama. So maybe you're saying you're pointing to your neshama. So then you're assuming your neshama is in your heart. Maybe your neshama is in your head. Maybe your neshama is in your eyes. Get different opinions where your neshama might be. Maybe your neshama is in your nose. Whatever it is, right? Point to yourself. Right? What's you? So says Rav Avram Azulai, Im ein ani li. If myself, my body, let's say, right, the thing that you think is the most you, right, the thing that you I could touch it, it's real, it's me, right? If ain't I neely, if even I am not me, if even I am not, in control of myself, I can't even govern my own, physical existence, it's totally out of my control, so then neely, so then what, what is in my control? And certainly my money's not in my control, and certainly my wisdom is not in my control, and the fact, that I have children, God willing, is not in my control, the fact that I have a house is certainly not in my control, and Aina Neely, if the thing that I'm so confident, the most confident about that's definitely me, is not even me, then nothing is me. And it's, again, it's this idea of this tremendous anava. I know Rabbi Finkelstein, this summer, became very fond of Moshe of Kubrin. Moshe of Kubrin was one of the early people in the Slonimer dynasty. It was actually his yard site just today, this past day, Thursday. And he tells us just a great story. Someone came to him and said, Rebbe, I'm having a terrible problem with Gaiva. I'm a big about Gaiva. It's very hard for me. So he says, let me ask you a question. He says, are you very smart? He says, no, not particularly. He says, are you very wealthy? Maybe you're very wealthy. No, actually not. He says, oh, do you know a lot of foreign languages? Like, is that your thing? No. He's like, so what, I don't understand what your problem is. Like, what are you Malgaiv about? You don't have anything. And the guy, I guess, you know, quickly got the message. You know, if I am not me, so then, you know, so then what am I? Okay, I'll just end with one other quick point in Pirkei Avos, just to, I guess, help us get fully ready for Shavuos as we get closer and closer. The Mishnah says that when it comes to the sages, we're supposed to drink up their words very thirstily. So I saw in Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky's parish on Pirkei Avos, he says people make mistakes sometimes when it comes to learning Torah. He says, you know, when it comes to most things, we're supposed to say, I wish I could, but the Torah doesn't allow me to. It's a Rashi. Rashi says, I think it's Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's statement, that when it comes to treif, let's say, I pass, you know, McDonald's. I'm not supposed to say, oh, that's disgusting to me. And that's my drag too. But there's also my drag to say, I wish I could eat a cheeseburger, but Akash Baruch says I can't, so I won't. Right? When it comes to Torah, we're not supposed to say that. We're not supposed to say, I wish I didn't have to learn Torah, but I gotta do the Ratzon Abori. Right? And he says, no, Torah is supposed to be a tremendously pleasurable experience. Have you shown some summit divrein, like a person who's thirsty after playing, you know, a big game of basketball on a hot day, and there's nothing sweeter in the world than a glass of water. He says, Torah is supposed to be the sweetest thing in the world. And he brings a very simple proof from the Birchas HaTorah itself. He says, we know if you look at the bracha of something, that tells you the essence of that mitzvah. So for example, the Gemara in Shabbos discusses when it comes to lighting the menorah. Is hadlakos a mitzvah? Is the lighting the mitzvah? Or hanachos a mitzvah? If I light in a place that's not fit to light the menorah, and then I move it into the right spot, have I filled the mitzvah? So the Gemara says, how are we going to solve this problem? Let's look at the bracha. The bracha is lahadlik. So apparently hadlakos a mitzvah. So that means anything that's part of the text of the bracha is the essence of the mitzvah. Well, what's part of the text of the Birchas HaTorah? Vaharevna, it should be sweet. So says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, part of the essence of Limud Torah is that it's supposed to be a pleasurable, sweet experience. And unfortunately, sometimes, you know, we don't always stop to think about the sweetness and the privilege and the schus that we have to be able to learn Torah. But certainly as we get closer and closer to Shavuos, it's definitely something for us to think about. And when a person learns with a simcha, so he accomplishes a tremendous amount. Rav Chaim Volozhin writes in Pirkei Avos, on the 48 Kinyanim by Simcha, he says, Ki alomid b'simcha b'sha achas yosar harbe mimashi ilamid b'kama shos ba'atzos. In a single hour of Limud Torah b'simcha, you can accomplish so much more. And again, it's not saying that you're right. It's just your attitude towards it. If you learn with the simcha, if you approach it with an excitement, and you know you do it as and you tap into the fun of Torah, right? Torah is called the shashuai, or putting the rights. It's a toy. It's supposed to be fun. Rav Hutner says his favorite mesechta in the Memorial Journal of Rav Hutner. It says that his favorite mesechta was Bava Kama. You know why? Because he says that was the mesechta I think he learned when he was really young. Like it was maybe the first mesechta he learned, and he says he knew it in the most childish way. He never knew it in, you know, as the Rosh Hashiva Rav Hutner. He knew it as a kid. And he says, because that was always his favorite mesechta. Because it had a certain childish, you know, pleasure to it. So as Rav Victor Miller said, you know, no one ever falls asleep in an ice cream shop. Right? You never see a guy sitting there eating ice cream falling asleep. But unfortunately we see that sometimes when people are learning Torah or even listening to a shir. So I guess we'll call it a night. We'll stop with that. And we should be zocha by the time the Shavuos rolls around that we'll have internalized, you know, the message of Anava. We'll have transformed ourselves from animals into people. And we'll be able to be makabel the Torah b'simcha.
Yeah.